as multitudes, the principles of the kingdom and what it's like to live and as one who loves and serves the Lord. This evening, or this afternoon rather, I would like to pick up at verse 13. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn with me to verse 13, and we'll read through verse 16 this afternoon, verses 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us this afternoon through your word. Help us to be encouraged by it and help us to know how we are to live. And help us to see the great privilege and high calling that you've placed on each one of our lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning when we were looking at verses 10 through 12, and the Lord basically is telling us, you're going to be persecuted if you walk in righteousness and follow me. And we studied this morning that that is true. Both Paul and Peter said the same thing. And boy, that's really a wonderful calling. It's kind of like what Jeremiah got when the Lord called him. That he said, I'm going to touch your lips. And he touched Jeremiah's lips and he told Jeremiah to eat his word. And he said, I want you to go to my people and I want you to be a prophet to my people and I want you to preach to them the truth of my word. I want you to call them to repentance. But just one thing I'm going to tell you, nobody's going to listen and nobody's going to follow. And you're going, well, why are you calling me? Probably sometimes we feel that way when things are going bad, when we take a stand for truth, when we maybe are witnessing to someone and they don't want to hear anything about the gospel. And maybe they give you a bad time and you say, Lord, why am I doing this? Well, it's amazing what Jesus does after he told all these people, well, this is what you can expect. You're going to be persecuted. They're going to revile you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to come against you. But let me tell you a couple other things. And remember, he said, yours is the kingdom of heaven and there's rewards for you in heaven. And he said, our focus is to be an eternal focus, not a temporal focus. And sometimes we can get caught up in the moment, in the temporal, in the day-to-day activities, and people come against us, situations and circumstances come against us, and we become depressed, we can become overcome, as I talked about Elijah this morning. But we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to keep my focus proper and understand that this is only temporary. I'm just talking to some people this last week and they said, wow, life goes so quickly by. And I said, yeah, it does. It doesn't seem that long ago that Roberta and I were having our first baby. And now we are having grandchildren and we're well beyond having any more children. And life has gone very quickly. And I remember when I was young and would go to visit my grandparents. And they've been gone for a long time. My dad's been dead since 1992, and my mom since 2014. And it seemed like it went very quickly. And so we need to keep our focus. And what Jesus wants to do now is I think he wants to encourage us by telling us the position he's given to us. And this is for not just someone who's got what we would say a high-profile position, an evangelist, a pastor, a great Bible study leader. No, this is for every Christian. You need to understand what Jesus is saying. What he's saying here is for all who walk in the kingdom. The first, he gives two examples. One is salt and the other is light. You really don't want to be with either of them, especially you didn't want to be with them without them at the time of Jesus. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have things like refrigerators. They didn't have things like freezers. And so in order to preserve things, you needed to have other ways of preserving them. And in order to see things at night, you needed other things. There wasn't just a flick of the switch and the lights would come on. No. One of the main ways that they preserved food back then was by using salt. Salt was a preservative. For example, I love to eat beef jerky, but I like it a little salty. And the thing is, salt added to beef jerky will help it to stay so that it won't deteriorate and become bad so that you can't eat it. You can eat a piece of salted beef jerky, and it doesn't have to be refrigerated. It can be out there. It'll get pretty dry, and it might get a little hard, but you can still eat it. And there's still some protein there, and there's still some vitamins there, so that you can get some nourishment for your body, even though it has been kept outside of a refrigerator. That's what salt will do. Well, why is Jesus telling us, ye are the salt of the earth? Remember this morning I talked about, just briefly, I talked about the fact that the reason that there is such a persecution of believers is that there's a spiritual battle. And there are only two types of people on the earth. Those that are saved and those that are not saved. And there's no others. There's not divided up according to race or place of origin or place that you live or how much socioeconomic status. No, either you're a follower of the Lord or you're not a follower of the Lord. Either you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. It doesn't matter what nation you're from, what family you're from, what socioeconomic status you have, or whether you're a male, woman or a man. The only important thing is, are you a Christian? And for those who are Christians, there's something different. The Bible tells us that we have a different perspective on life because we are seeing the world as God sees it. The world does not see the world as God sees it. It is tainted by the deceptions and lies of Satan. The old story is, the old adage is, someone wants to fool you, they take strings and mirrors and they fool you. Well, what do they do with strings and mirrors? They cause things to appear that they're not there. You ever seen something, a show of any type where they've had mirrors and you've walked in and the bad guy walks in and he's going to come after the good guy, but it's in a house of mirrors and he can't tell where the good guy is to get because his reflection is everywhere. He doesn't know what's real and what's not real. That's what Satan wants us to be in that situation. And that's where the world is apart from Christ. They don't know what's real and what's not real. They don't know what's true and what's not true. And consequently, we see in the scriptures, in the prophets that tell us, Isaiah and Jeremiah, that one of the marks of Israel, when they begin to listen to the false teachers and begin to listen and worship the false gods, what happened is they didn't know good from evil, they didn't know truth from error, they called good evil and evil good, and that's exactly what you see that the world does. Well, what do Christians do? We as Christians should know what is good and what is evil. We should know what is truth and what is error. Now, one of the sad things is, as I mentioned this morning just briefly again, that Jesus said in the last days, one of the marks of the last days was going to be apostasy, false teaching, and a falling away, where people would not desire to walk after and desire the truth, nor would they want to hear the truth. That is a mark of an unbeliever, not a believer. And Jesus is saying, you as believers are salt. What is salt? A preservative. How are we a preservative in the world? Well, we are there to reveal to the world what is truth and what is error, what is real and what is not real, what is lies, and what is from Satan and what is from God. And we know and we present to people the gospel message and present to them the truth. And we appeal to their conscience. We ask God's Spirit. We're here to pray. Pray for people's salvation. Pray that God would work in their hearts. Pray that He'd open their eyes and ears so they can see and hear and understand the gospel message, that they can really understand what is true. What is the true condition of mankind? Well, the true condition of mankind is that he is, apart from God, he's lost. He's a rebel. He's a sinner. He's condemned to hell because he's got to be accountable for his rebellious and sinful actions against a holy and righteous God. Apart from Christians, who is going to tell them the truth? I want to tell you, we've got a book out there. I think the last one's gone. I've got a few more coming so that if you want one, you can get it. It's called Psychology in the Church. And in that, Dave Hunt writes about the fact that the church is abandoning the message of truth and trying to bring in psychology, which is nothing but lies. And what does psychology do? It tries to appease the conscience. It tries to make you see something that's not real. It takes strings and mirrors like they do in the funhouse, like they do in those movies where the guy's going after the one he wants to get and he can't find him because he doesn't know where he's at. That's what psychology does. It tells the people, well, you're basically good. You don't really have a problem. The problem is other people. You've got to blame other people. You've got to look and discover how you need to transfer all of your concerns and worries onto someone else and realize that either situations or people or somebody else is your responsibility. Do you want to realize what happens when you do that? You're not trusting in God. You're not looking to God. You're not taking accountability. The Bible tells us that we who are salt should be able to show the world that we're accountable not for our circumstance, because we can be in circumstances that aren't our, we didn't bring them about. Maybe something happens in our life. We can't control things like, I can't control the stock market, so I've got money saved and invested in a 401k plan. I can't control the stock market, and if that crashes and all my money's gone, I can't control that. But I can respond to that and not blame that for my situations, but I can look to the Lord and trust in Him that He will provide for me even though I've lost my money. But the world would say, well, it's not your problem, it's the stock market's problem. It's the people that caused that problem. And you need to go and get somebody to help you. And the thing is, we need to realize that we need to go to the Lord. And so the world doesn't know how to handle situations properly because they are approaching it from the wrong perspective. We do know how to handle situations properly. And we know that it begins with everybody's, the first problem that they have is they need to come to trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then look to the Lord as the one who is their provider and the one in whom they can call upon, and He will meet their needs. We sang one hymn that we sang, I believe, this afternoon about His eye is on the sparrow. And that comes from a parable that Jesus taught about the fact that if the Lord is concerned and knows when a sparrow falls from the sky, how much more is He concerned about you, who've been created in His image, who've been created in the image of God? If the Lord would take and make a lily so beautiful that when you put it under a microscope, the beauty that is contained within the cells of a lily and the way that it's put together, it makes Solomon's most gorgeous robe pale in comparison. And if God could do that for a lily, which is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more is He going to do for us who are eternal and have an eternal life when we give our hearts to Him? That is what we know, and that is the message that we need to bring to a world that is decaying. We have the means by which the people of the world can be preserved and saved, and that is salt. Now, Jesus also says something that's a little disheartening, because He says, but what happens when the salt loses its savor? In other words, when a salt quits becoming salty, what happens to it? Well, is it a good preservative anymore? Well, the answer is no, because that's the whole purpose of salt. And if salt has lost its savor, lost its ability to preserve, what good is it for? He says, well, it's only good to be thrown down and trampled under feet. What did he mean by that? Well, they take this salt that wasn't any good, and they throw it onto the road, and it just becomes something that you'd walk on. It wasn't used to preserve their food anymore. It wasn't used in their cooking anymore, because it wasn't any good anymore. So what he's telling us, if you don't have salt in your life, you're of no value, but you're useless. But he's saying, I've made you salt. You are salt. So you need to remember what you are. You're salt. You're that which has the truth and can preserve a world that's in rebellion to God. The next example he gives is light. It's light. And this is extremely significant, even more significant in his culture and time than it was in ours. And that is because light at that time, like I said, they didn't have electricity. They just had candles. They had candles, or they may have had some form of fuel that they would put into a little vial, like oils that they put into lamps, and they light the oil or they light the candle, and that would make the light. But I want to tell you, if that's all the light you got, like in Fargo, one of the things when you drive into town at night from out of town, you can begin to see when you're getting close to Fargo because there's a glow on the horizon. It's from all the lights of the city. You wouldn't see that in Israel at the time Jesus lived, but what you could see was that if somebody was outside and they had a lamp or a candle, you'd see it. Especially if there was no stars, if it was a cloudy night and wasn't a full moon, you would see that light, and you'd see it from a long ways away. What he's saying is, you are the light of the world. People should see such a difference in your life that they are drawn to it. Have you ever turned on the light? What happens when you turn on the light at night during the summer? All the bugs in the world are drawn to it. Why? Because they want to go to the light. They don't want to be out in the dark. And they're drawn to the light. Well, people will be drawn to the light too when they see the light. Well, what is the light in our hearts? The light in our hearts is the truth of God's Word. It's revealed in our lives. Our lives should be so different that they're not like all the darkness around us. And there is real darkness. All one has to do is pick up the paper, read in a newspaper, turn on a television, go to a movie, listen to ads on the radio. There is real darkness. But the thing is, we are light because we have the truth. We know who God is. We show forth His love and His character. And when we do that, all men should be drawn unto us. So He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That's like Fargo. You can't hide Fargo when you're coming in from out of town at night. You're not going to hide it. When you get up in an airplane and you fly over, you will see Fargo. There are lights all over. You can't hide it without turning out all the lights. He says that's what it is with a city on a hill. And he says a light it is put on a candlestick. It's not hid under a bushel. In other words, you don't light a candle and then put it under a bushel basket so that you can't see it. The whole purpose of the light is so that people can see. Now, what happens when people see the light in our life? They see a difference from the world around them. They see a difference from the sin that's in their hearts. And they should see the joy and the peace and the hope. All the things that Jesus talked about in the first 12 verses that were characteristics of the believer in Christ should be seen in those who are showing forth His light and His truth. And men should want to understand, how can you be peaceful in the midst of turmoil? For example, with all this nonsense that's going on in our country right now, yeah, I get upset when I hear things that are absolute, total lies, and I say, how can that happen? How can that be? How can these people do that? But I also don't put all my trust and hope in the politicians of our country, because I know that, as the Bible says, one day, even our country will fall, and the only time there's going to be perfect righteousness is when Jesus comes to rule and reign. So I should have a peace and a hope that shines out as light in the midst of darkness. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now this came right on the back heels of saying that the world's going to persecute you. The world's going to come against you. It's going to revile you. But how do you come against the darkness? By letting your light and salt shine, even though they are going to come and to persecute you, because they will be drawn to the light and there will be those that are saved. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the importance of being salt and light. And Lord, that we are called to preserve the truth in the midst of a relativistic culture and a world that denies you exist. And we are to be the light that shows forth the truth of your word and your character and the gospel message in the face of the darkness around us. Help us to go forth and proclaim these truths. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.